Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up, tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
I've always heard there is a land beyond the
Over the years, I have been preaching on the subject of salvation, and the biggest reason that I preach on this is so that people will begin to see the hope of eternal life. For I fully remember how hopeless I was before I was born again, trying desperately sometimes to keep the law of my religion and being a failure in it, regardless how you tried. This experience brought a compassion into my heart for the lost, because in my heart I want people to go to heaven. I know for a fact that the lake of fire is real. The word of God teaches that, and to me it is a matter of fact. So regardless who the people are, it doesn't really matter to me whether they're red, black, white, Muslim, whatever religion they're in. A person is created in the image of God, and to my understanding, it is the will of God that none shall perish. Even when I think of Hitler being in the lake of fire, I have seen movies on how horribly he operated. I have seen movies how the Nazi regime killed millions of people. Even when I think of them entering into the eternal lake of fire without hope, it brings sorrow to my heart. I kid you not, I've experienced that over and over again. So I will try to bring the message of salvation to those who are still living as long as I live. And I want you to be sure of yourself that you have salvation and not to be bogged down in some religious ideology, because that is the biggest deception that people have. So once we'll reach the end of the line and we'll stand before the judgment bar of God, what will the verdict be? The horrors of hearing the Lord God saying, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Nobody wants to hear that. And today I will teach on the subject of knowing that you know that you belong to God. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you. I pray, Lord, that you will open the hearts of the listeners so that they will see the urgency. They will see the signs of the times and turn to you. For we have but a small window of time available to us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Lord, that you have sacrificed yourself for us. And I ask you to anoint this message and bless those who are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Once a person becomes born again, something very interesting happens to him. He becomes a new creation in Christ Jesus. His whole demeanor changes. Something happens to his heart. This is why we see people who are real terrorists one day totally change around and become a changed person the next day. It is because of the work of the Spirit of God in a person's heart. And once we have received that Holy Spirit, we receive the mind of Christ that is found in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. And then we become bone of his bone. We become flesh of his flesh. We become members of his body. That is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. So a person needs to study that to find out who he is in Christ Jesus, so that he can relax in his salvation. Many people who become born again don't seem to understand how totally a person has changed once he has received that awesome salvation. In John chapter 16, verse 13, it tells us, "When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So with this scripture, we can realize that the Holy Spirit can show us whether we are going to go to heaven. That is a very interesting scripture, and that scripture covers a lot of territory. It doesn't only show us that we can know that we're going to heaven, it will show us what is in the future for this planet. So this scripture covers a very big territory. But let's focus on our salvation. It tells us here that he will show you things to come. So has the Holy Spirit, since you've become born again, shown you that you are going to go to heaven? Maybe you need a little reminder from Scripture that you're going to heaven, because a lot of people don't spend a lot of time studying the Word of God. So they become very disillusioned sometimes, and they become faithless. Their faith is not built up. And that's the consequences of not studying the Word of God. So the question will be asked, can a person know that he is going to heaven? Well, according to Scriptures, you can. It tells us in 1 John chapter 5 in verse 12, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. If you don't, if you cannot take it by faith, then at least believe what the Word of God says. The Word of God teaches us here, he that has the Son has life. That means once you're born again, once you have the Lord Jesus in your heart, you then have eternal life. And then he goes on to write us in verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. In German, it is very clearly written, dieses habe ich geschrieben, auf das ihr wisset, dass ihr das ewige Leben hat. That is very clearly written. So do you know in your heart that you are going to heaven? In Luke chapter 10, verse 20, it very clearly teaches us, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Can I rejoice if I don't know? No, I can't. This is where the joy of the Lord comes from, knowing that you're going to heaven. This is what has cost me to dig into the Word of God and to preach the Word of God to as many as will listen, because I know that my destination is heaven, and nobody will take it away from me. This is what the promise of God is. I remember years ago, before I got grounded on the Word of God, I made a very interesting covenant with God. I did not yet know that the Word teaches that once you're born again, you are then sealed unto the day of redemption. You are then a purchased possession. I did not know it in those days. So I made a covenant with God. I said, Father God, Lord Jesus, listen to me. If I decide somewhere in my future, even remotely in my heart, to leave you, I want you to kill me on the spot. Because if I will not go to heaven, it's going to be your fault. Because I have called upon you to take me from this life before I step across the line where I will not be yours anymore. This is the pact I made with God before I knew about the Word of God. So I was certain in my heart from that day on, I will go to heaven, because deep within my spirit, I knew the Lord took me at my word. And I have never had a desire yet to leave God. My desire has come to the point where I want to come as close to him as possible. My desire for him is to come back already so that I can see him. Am I such a holy person as far as this life is concerned? No, I'll be the first to tell you. I've got shortcomings like everybody else, but there is one thing I do know. Jesus loves me, and one day he's going to take me unto himself, and I cannot wait for the day. Never mind, wait a little longer, sweet Jesus. I will read you a few scriptures out of Ephesians chapter 1, which will drive my point home. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, in Jesus we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who has worked all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. When one reads that over very quickly, like I just did, you can miss the total meaning of what this scripture means. Here is what it means. It tells us when we trusted in Christ, after we heard the way of salvation, we then were sealed unto the day of redemption. We were then sealed by the Holy Spirit. And it tells us here, the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. That means the Holy Spirit that we receive is the down payment of our inheritance. Just like when we buy something, we give a down payment. That's what the word earnest means here. I've studied it in the dictionary. It's a very old word, and we use it for different meanings today. But in the dictionary that I have, it tells us the word earnest means to make a down payment on something. So the Holy Spirit was given to us as a down payment of the real thing that is going to come. So, have you received that Holy Spirit? Do you know that the down payment is within you? What happens when you study scriptures? Do your eyes open to the truth? And when you fall into sin, is the Holy Spirit there to convict you? Or are you forever studying ways on how to sin? That tells me that there is something wrong. So seek out whether you're truly born again. This message is here to lift you up, but also to warn you. If you live in deception, thinking that you're born again, that's going to be a horrifying day when you stand at the judgment bar of God and find out what you had wasn't the truth. So seek out God. I mean, give your life and heart to him. The humility of your heart will surely be open to God. And once God sees the humility, then he opens your heart to the truth. And then you see the way of salvation. And that's the time when you reach that crossroads, will I accept that way or will I reject it? That's where your choice comes in. The Bible teaches us, many are called, but few are chosen. Who does the choosing? We do. God has given us the ability to choose either life or death. And Scripture pleads with us, choose life. For the Lord is willing that none shall perish. Yes, he has given himself for your sin and for my sin. The ordinances that were written against us, he took them out of the way. The curse that was upon us, he eliminated. He took it out of the way, nailed it to the cross with him, and then he removed it as far from us as the east is from the west. So choose life today. Receive this awesome Jesus into your heart, and then you will receive the earnest of that eternal life. You will receive that down payment of eternal life. And when he comes for his purchased possession, you can be sure of yourself. You will not be left behind. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Before you say no to Jesus tonight, before you turn him away, before you decide to take that great chance, is this your last chance to pray?
While you are blessed with this precious moment, Jesus is ready to say, sinner, before you make your decision, is this your last chance to pray?
Before you say no to Jesus tonight, before you turn him away, before you decide to take that great chance, is this your last chance to pray?
Satan may say that you're young and healthy, there's plenty of time to pray, but death is sure and life is uncertain, is this your last chance to pray?
Before you say no to Jesus tonight, before you turn him away, before you decide to take that great chance, is this your last chance to pray?
Can you be sure that you'll see tomorrow? Would you be wise to wait? Death's chilling arms this night may embrace you. Is this your last chance to pray?
Before you say no to Jesus tonight, before you turn him away, before you decide to take that great chance, is this your last chance to pray? Is this your last chance to pray?
Over the years, I have been listening to teachers who would teach that whatever happens on this planet is the will of the Lord. There is one question I have. If that would be the case, nobody would go to the lake of fire. For the Lord is not willing that any perish. And the Bible also teaches us that the Lord wants us to prosper. He wants us to be in good health. Do we see prosperity all over the place? Do we see people healthy? So we have to understand that in a lot of cases, it is our choices that determine situations. Yes, the Lord knows the beginning from the end. He knows the choices that we're going to be making. He knows who's going to be saved. He knows all of these things because he knows the beginning from the end. He knows the past, present, future. But just because he knows it, that doesn't say that he has designed it that way. It is our choices that bring on the design. I will read you part from a letter that I got from a sister in the Lord who is listening to my programs and understands the meaning of listening to the voice of God. For she tells me in a letter that she listens to different preachers, and there are some things that she's having trouble with, especially on the subject of election. And I've heard these teachings that God has his elected, he has chosen those who are going to be saved, and regardless what anybody does, it doesn't make any difference. The people whom God chose, these are the ones that are going to be saved. She puts it this way: God's chosen have chosen God. That's a very simple way of putting it. God's chosen ones are the ones that have chosen God. Then she writes, humanity's gift of freedom of choice in no way restricts God's gift of salvation, nor does it in any way limit God's omnipotence. To receive the gift of salvation, every human being must make the choice to give up his or her desire to sin and must reject the fallen nature in order to receive once again, as in the beginning, God's nature. It's our choice, but it's God's directive. That means that's the direction God is trying to get us to go. Very interesting way of putting it. It is our recognition that our sinful nature cannot be in the presence of God, and we have to decide and to accept the fact that we cannot enter into the kingdom with that nature, and we need to turn to the Lord so that God can restore us back again to our original way, in the way that we were before the fall. So I want you to understand, if you're out there, one of these people who are wondering whether they're really born again, if God really cares for them, I want you to listen to these words. God's chosen are the ones that choose God. It's simply put. And the humility of your heart is the deciding factor which will cause God to open the way of salvation to you and bring you into the kingdom. That's how it works. We cannot connive our way into the kingdom. We cannot mouth a few words and then call ourselves Christians. No, we have to see ourselves as lost. We have to see ourselves as desperately wicked, constantly evil, with a fallen nature. And we have to understand that God needs to change that. And once he does, we then become the citizens of the kingdom of God. So seek the Lord out yourself. Check it out whether you are really a citizen of the kingdom. And the emphasis I want to make here is that we only get one shot at this. If we're not truly saved, then we cannot later readjust ourselves. When we stand before the judgment bar of God, it'll be too late. So take this message as an opportunity to check out your heart. And the Lord will open your heart to the truth if there's true humility there. And he will bless you with an understanding and a revelation. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.